Well, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited to be here at St. Peter by the Lake Episcopal Church. I feel like I'm a part of this congregation. I've been coming and being a part of your celebration services since, I think it was 1996 was my first time being here and being a part of this congregation. And somebody told me that when I came that the congregation would never be the same again. This place would never be the same again. And so I'm excited to be back with you and be a part of this time with you. My goal this morning, y'all just keep smiling and keep looking at me. My goal this morning is to make you uncomfortable. Too often I hear people say, I don't feel comfortable. I want you to feel uncomfortable in the predicament God puts us in, that we will do something to ease our uncomfortableness. Today I just want to share with you for a few moments the empowering community through living a lifestyle of reconciliation. I'll say it several times. I'll say it again now. Empowering community through living a lifestyle of reconciliation. Truth. We all want truth, right? We all want people to tell. I don't like people that lie to me. And you don't like people to lie to you. We all want people to tell us the truth. We don't like those who won't tell us the truth. How many of you like for folks to tell you the truth? And I know all of you would probably do that. You'd probably say, be honest with me, tell it like it is, don't sugarcoat it, don't lie to me, I don't like liars, and the truth goes on. And so the challenge that we all have with that is that, are we willing to do to others what we want them to do to us? Are we willing to tell people really what we think? You know, when I think about truth, I think about this commercial. I think it's Reese's Pieces or something. The lady comes on, and the guy's dressed like Abraham Lincoln and Honest Abe, and she looks at him and said, do I look fat in this dress? And he stuffs his mouth with Reese's Pieces. And really, do you really want the truth? I thought, I don't know. If my wife asked me a question like that, do this dress make me look fat? And I'm thinking to myself, it ain't got nothing to do with the dress, but I don't want to tell her that, right?
Someone asked terrible.
Oh, by the way, my wife is in Dallas, Texas with her sister. She's had some health challenges. And anything I say today that I want her to know, I'll tell her myself, all right? Human nature. Human nature resists and has discomfort with honesty. Deep, heartfelt honesty is uncomfortable on many levels. However, once honesty has occurred, and the death of relationship and intimacy will grow. I'll try to say that again, is that once we are honest with ourselves and with others, our relationship and intimacy grows. You know, when I actually tell my wife the truth, even though the truth may be painful, it may be difficult for me to say it, but she feels better and I feel better that at least we've been honest with one another and we've told the truth. Now I can trust you. I can depend on you telling me the truth and not try to shield me or keep me from the truth. And so for empowering a community, healing must take place. And if healing is going to take place, there must be maturity, it must be all of those things to take place. And so if we get healing to take place, then for healing to take place, we must have these deep, difficult discussions. And that's where the uncomfortableness comes in. When I talk to people about reconciliation, many times and all the time, they say, well, I don't really know where to get started. Well, just tell the truth, you know, on your part. Not make excuses, explanations, or justification, but just tell the truth. And so as we think about this morning I want to leave you this, not only empowering community through living a lifestyle of reconciliation, but I would like to say to you, get rid of the rhetoric, get beyond the rhetoric, and live a lifestyle of reconciliation. Winters, what are you talking about this morning? Well, Jesus tells us in Mark, the first chapter, and I'll read a portion of that. Verses 14 and 15 says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mission Mississippi, mission in life, a goal in life, is to encourage and demonstrate grace in the body of Christ across racial lines that communities throughout Mississippi and the world, for that matter, can see practical evidence of this gospel. So it's time for us. In 2017, we should not have the issues across racial lines or any other lines that we have. So as you look at our world today, we are divided in every sector of our community, whether it be race, and I like to look at it like this, it's color, culture, or custom. We are divided over different issues in political realms. Even within political parties, we are divided, even as we go against what perceived to be our enemy as the other party. And so we're divided. So today, Jesus said, time is up. It's time to do something about this. It's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to do something. See, here's what I believe. I believe until the pain to remain the same is greater than the pain to change, there will be no change. Oftentimes I see change take place because the pain of the situation is so drastic and so catastrophic to us that we don't have a choice. We change by default. We all want change. We want to change. But many times it takes a revolutionary situation in our lives for us to change. And so my challenge to you today as we look at this is that we don't have a whole lot of time. I know I don't. And so if we're going to get beyond the racial issue, the division issue, and so many others, but my focus and the focus of Mission Mississippi has been for the last 24 years in Mississippi for Christians to get beyond the racial divide. And I don't know why we keep passing on that from one generation to the next. And I believe it's because we don't do anything intentionally not to pass on. And so I know that there are some people even now with me now today. This is making you uncomfortable, and that's my goal, is to make you uncomfortable. I want you to listen. I don't want you to shut me out. I don't want you to get angry. I just want to make you uncomfortable. So here's the deal. I've been standing in line at the airport. I've been sitting around in the airport, even sitting on the plane on the runway, and there are people around me. There's people in the airport. I've been standing in line at the bank, at the Social Security office, and other places, in waiting rooms at the doctor's office. There are strangers many times in all of those locations. And you know, the longer I wait, the more comfortable we get with each other. The longer we have to wait. We look at each other with this strange look and look around and try to figure out, what can I say? What can I do? After a while, the waiting gets so extended, especially if the doctor has the emergency or whatever else, and you got to wait. The waiting get extended, and you sit in there staring at each other, and somebody will muster up the courage to start a conversation. Even if it's like, well, it's been in the 90s the past few days. The weather's been hot. And then that starts a whole ball game about, well, you know, and maybe talk about vacation or your grandkids or whatever. I love talking about my grandkids. I only have 11 of them. And I really love talking about my great-grandkids. I have 5 of those. And so you start a conversation like that, you got me hooked. And so, you know, even I've been stuck in the elevator with folks that I didn't know. And so this thing of waiting. Here's my point. We're stuck with each other until eternity. So we need to get comfortable in a comfortable way, talking to each other, having these conversations, building relationships, building honesty and trust and respect. Our goal is to develop relationships that are based on trust, respect, and honesty, probably in that order, that we can muster up enough courage and enough confidence in ourselves and in the conversation that we can have deep, hard conversations, that we can move well beyond this. And so my challenge as we leave today, to empower a community through living a lifestyle of reconciliation. What do you mean, reconciliation? Really, for me to talk to you and talk to Christians about reconciliation is, I guess I call it an oxymoron, and you may have heard me use that term before. I'm not sure what that definition means, but I'm always amazed that when I read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, 19, and 20, and even before that, the Bible says that God, through Christ Jesus, through the atonement of Christ Jesus, has reconciled the world unto himself. Now, if I've been reconciled unto God and you've been reconciled unto God, I believe that makes us brothers and sisters. And if we're brothers and sisters, then there's no reason for us to have to live to reconcile with each other. We're already reconciled. The challenge is we need to live out the reconciliation that we already have. I'll say that again. The challenge is, how do I live out the reconciliation that I already have? Love your brother. Love your sister. As Christ had loved us. That was his command to us. And so this definition that I want to leave you with as I complete this, it says reconciliation is a biblical term. And if we look at it from a literal meaning standpoint, it might read like this. For while we were enemies, our relationship to God was changed completely through the death of his son. Much more surely, having been radically transformed, will we be saved by his life. All of this is from God, who has thoroughly changed our relationship to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of radical relational transformation. That is, Christ, God, completely changed the world relationship to him, and he's looking to us to live in such a way with one another that others will see our reconciliation not only to God, but to one another, and see practical evidence of how the gospel has changed us. Therefore, they'll be attracted to us. And so, as we go forth, I would love for us to look at generation next. What is it that you're going to pass on to the next generation? Generation next. And I believe it takes intentionality. And some other things I will discuss with you later if I get an opportunity to visit with you during the break between services there. I'd like to talk to you about the PFL and the eyes, what I call the knitted eyes. God bless you and God keep you this morning.
Amen. Amen. Amen.